Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. Jeff, what in the world are we going to talk about today?
Well, I was thinking this might be a good time to really break down the Penn State baseball roster and this freshman class they have coming in, looking at the pitching, some of the outfield help. But, you know, if there's some other topic you want to get into, I'm certainly willing to go that direction.
No. I'm all baseball, Jeff. You know that. I'm a baseball guy. Let's go.
I know that you are.
Let's start with and get it out of the way. I think there's a football game this weekend. How about we chat about that a little bit first before we hit the big sport, baseball?
Well, that would be fine. I also, I don't know if you're aware of this, Penn State actually gets their season underway here pretty soon. I think that game might even be coming up on Saturday. If you'd want to, maybe we could discuss that a little bit.
Oh, wow. You know what? Before we started the show, you and I were talking about off the air about something completely different. And we talked about what a coincidence. Same thing here. How about it? They got a game. Obviously, the Nittany Lions are going to be down in West Virginia taking on the Mountaineers. That's Saturday at noon. Can't wait for it. It's the first full week of college football, Jeff. Let me start with this. What does the Ironhead household look like for this? I assume you're not going to West Virginia, correct?
That is correct. I wish I was. This one I would like to get to, but correct, I am not.
All right. What does your household look like for the opener, an away game? What are you eating? What are you drinking? Do you go out for the game? Do you watch it on your own? Got the family? How do you do it?
It will be a variety of different things over the course of the year. For this particular game, we will be home. I think we are going to be getting probably subs and other snacky food to enjoy while we watch the game. Both the Mad Turtle, my kiddo who is now 9, and yours truly will undoubtedly be dressed in Penn State gear. I suspect my wife will be, at least for the season opener, and yes, we will be locked in, at least two of the three of us locked in. Nonstop. My wife tends to get a little bit of work done here and there throughout these games, but at least at the start, we will all be gathered around the TV and enjoying the start of the 2024 season.
Now, do you like that it's a noon game, or would you prefer, and I'm not talking about how the team will perform, okay? I'm just talking about in your own house for your TV watching pleasure. Would you have preferred noon as is, or like a 7 o'clock game where the whole day builds up to it, the late afternoon shift? What is best for you?
So, for our family, it really is weather dependent, and it is looking like we could have a bit of a rainy day here, in which case the noon kickoff is fantastic because, one, as I have aged, dear Mr. Galante, and I know it doesn't look like it, but I have aged, and the night games are a battle for me now. When we're getting up past 9 o'clock, we are into dangerous territory as far as my eyelids staying open. So the noon kickoff fits in beautifully on that front, but it also gives us a chance to do some other activities with our kiddo later in the day. And or for me, I do really like now having the Penn State game finished. Either way, obviously you're hoping Penn State has won. And then you get to really sit back and enjoy the other action of the day. It's like, all right, our business is taken care of. Now let me flip around, see what games are drawing my interest. Oh, look at that. Texas A&M is now up 42-0 over Notre Dame. Well, turning out splendidly. So these are the things that I like having those noon kickoffs, because I do enjoy having then the rest of the day to just kick back and see what else is happening. Or if we have something else scheduled with the family, being able to go and do that with the satisfaction, hopefully, of the Penn State result already taken care of.
See, I'm right in line with you as the old guy, Jeff. Well, also, I'll tell you the other advantage of the noon game. You don't have to wait around all day waiting for it. You know, it's like waking up Christmas morning and saying, no, you can't open your presents now. You got to wait till later. I want to rip open the present as soon as possible. So try to sleep in, maybe get a nice breakfast, but then have the snacks ready. And like you put it, if you can get this one in the win column, it makes the rest of the college football watching day so much better. Rooting for all the upsets, rooting for Pitt to lose, Michigan to lose, Notre Dame to lose. It's a perfect day.
It absolutely is. Yep. I'm more and more, I enjoy the noon starts myself.
So, okay. So we're in line with that. Now, if it's a home game and attending, I kind of like the late afternoon games. It's like the compromise. Now, remember, I've got a 90-minute drive, and on game day, maybe a little bit longer to get in. Don't like, if it's a noon game, you got to get up early and rush in or come in on Friday. But 4 o'clock is just right. And adding to the old man needing to go to bed, those 7 or God forbid 8 o'clock games, Jeff, they are tough, especially when I've got a 2-hour drive to get home afterwards.
I don't even have that drive, and they are tough. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And yeah, I do like the late afternoon games on the home contest, because you do get an opportunity to do some tailgating and meet up with different friends and see different tailgates and catch up with folks. And then it's also even nice afterward. You can, you know, maybe a tailgate or two that you didn't get to, or you want to catch up with the people a little more. You do have that opportunity. Again, I live in the State College area, so without the traffic, it's only about a 10-minute drive, 15 minutes at the most for me from the stadium to my house. So give a chance for the traffic to clear out a bit and then work your way home. I do like that. And usually you're still home in time to, or at least I'm home in time to catch most of whatever the primetime game or games are that night.
And by the way, one last note on the game day. An adult beverage or two also?
I'm not sure what you're talking about there, Jim. I do enjoy, you know, a good skim milk from time to time on game days, if that's what you're alluding to. Yes, I do enjoy beverages. A good skim milk just does the body good, Jim.
Okay, I'll remember that. All right, let's actually talk about the game. See, Jeff, the thing is, I know better with you, because I've had tailgates with you. There's never been a skim milk to be found. Okay.
So I'm not exactly sure what you're alluding to, Jim. I'm a little confused by what you're talking about.
Okay, well, I'll try to get on a topic that you could understand and go with. Let's talk about the actual game. West Virginia, Penn State. It's an 8.5-point spread. The Nittany Lions are favored, although the line has come down quite a bit from when it first came out, Jeff. There seems to be, at least nationally, kind of a narrative that this is a dangerous game for Penn State and they need to be on upset alert.
Yeah, and I'm not really in that boat. I don't rule out the possibility that this game could be surprising to me, because my history, Jim, if anybody has paid close of attention, I don't tend to win a lot. There's a reason I don't bet on my predictions. And so nobody should feel good about me feeling good about this game from the Penn State perspective going in. But there's a few things that I really think do play in Penn State's favor. And at the end of the day, I just think more often than not, there's a reason, for example, Ohio State consistently beats Penn State. And I know Penn State fans don't want to hear this, but it's because Ohio State pretty consistently has been the more talented team. When you look at the high-end draft picks, Penn State has had plenty of draft picks, plenty of high-end picks. You have more Ohio State guys going earlier in the draft. They are a more talented team, and lo and behold, more often than not, Ohio State wins that game. I think Penn State is the more talented team going into this. I also think there's a couple of things that play in favor for Penn State. If this was a night game, I would be a little more concerned. I think that atmosphere is ratcheted up another degree or two when you get into the darkness in Morgantown. And I know there are some folks that are concerned about the, and I think maybe even more so nationally, about the changeover in the coaching staff for Penn State, and might there be an adjustment period. I just feel so strongly about the way this staff, starting with James Franklin, approached this and getting everybody on the same page. And, you know, maybe I'm buying into the company line too much here, but I really think they are more on the same page and have a clearer understanding of what they are trying to do, players, coaches alike, than what they had a year ago when we, and I was admittedly thinking that, man, they have both coordinators back. This promises to be really a good setup. And I just don't think clearly Mike Yurcich and James Franklin and the players just never seemed to get on the same page last season. I really think the fact that they'll have some new wrinkles, some different things that West Virginia will have to get ready for is a big deal. And the other thing is, I think the weather, it looks like it's going to be a warm day and it could be a rainy day. I think both of those things play in Penn State's favor. I know West Virginia has a great running game. I think Penn State's running game is going to be every bit as effective here on Saturday. And I think the depth that Penn State has, if we do get the heat we're expecting, is going to play a big role when the fourth quarter rolls around.
I agree with you. It seems like the national narrative is a little bit different. And when we come back, Jeff, I think that Georgia Tech Florida State game, I've brought it up multiple times and I've seen other people do the same thing. I'm going to do the comparison between that game and this game, tell you what I think are the similarities, what might be the differences, and I'm going to ask you to comment on that when we get back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. After we figured out what we needed to talk about, Jeff, we finally found our target. There's a football game this weekend. It's Penn State at West Virginia. Before we get there, just want to mention to you, Saturday, September 14th, is the Patton Township Children's Safety Fair. There's free admission to this. It's a great event for the kids. All of the emergency type folks are involved, the EMS, the police, the firemen. You got the fire trucks, the police cars. You got some great games. You got like the bounce house. Our buddies over at Bobby Rahal Honda are one of the big sponsors of this. It's at the Colonnade, which is the Target parking lot. And that's Saturday, September 24th from 10 to 3 p.m. If you have some little guys, like I know you do, Jeff, may want to check this out. Two very important points, Jeff. Number one, free admission. Number two, It's an off week for the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, Jim, I will tell you, we go to this every year, our family does, and we have a great time. It really is, there are some wonderful, helpful hints, but it really is just a great time for the kids. There is a ton to see and do. They get to climb up into some of the vehicles. They get some coupons or gift certificates for different things. They get to make their own police badges and that sort of stuff. If you do have younger kids in particular, it really is a great, great event. And yeah, the price is just right for our family. So we always do look forward to it. And if you've not checked it out before and you do have kiddos, I would say, 12 and under for sure. You really ought to do yourself a favor and let your kiddos get up there and enjoy that.
Well, it sounds fantastic. If you're a kid, you get to get into the fire truck and stuff if you're the little ones.
You absolutely do. And I don't know if they change it up every year or not. I know, and I'm trying to remember now if last year we did it. I know that the Mad Turtle, my kiddo, has been up in the fire truck bucket at least a couple of times there over the years. So they allow the kids to go up. Now, I don't know for sure if that's part of it this year, but they've gotten to climb up in the fire trucks, get look into the police vehicles, ambulances, the whole bit. It is just a great time, a great fun family affair.
Well, it sounds I think I'll come out just to get into. Do they allow adults to get into the bucket too, Jeff?
They do. They do indeed.
All right. Then I'm going. All right, let's move on. Let's get back again. That's Saturday, September 14th, at the Target parking lot from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. As Jeff said, if you got the little guys, take them out. They're going to have a great time. And like I said, I don't think it's a coincidence that they scheduled this during the bye week. So that was great planning on their part. Also, let's get back to Penn State, West Virginia, though, Jeff. And I understand this comparison to the Georgia Tech Florida State game last week. You've got an underdog like Georgia Tech with a quarterback who's a dual threat, which is the same thing with West Virginia. You have an excellent running game like you do with West Virginia. They controlled the line of scrimmage. They were able to run the ball. Their quarterback made plays. And candidly, on the other side, with Florida State and their quarterback, big, strong guy, big, strong arm, but he never went down the field with it. He, was all throws underneath, didn't stretch the field. Who does that remind you of, Jeff? So is that theory a flawed theory?
I think it is, and I think that for a few reasons. At the top of the list for me is, and I'm really curious to see how this season plays out across college football. And it is way too early, and I'm not making any grand proclamations based on that Georgia Tech Florida State result. But the thinking, watching a lot of the coverage going into that game, the thinking was, yeah, Florida State lost a lot of talent, but man, they brought in guys to match it, almost player for player, from the transfer portal, and they're going to be just fine. And I really think that talent is certainly an important component here, but I also think that culture and developing within that culture is critical. And there's kind of that balance here. I think virtually no team, and maybe no team flat out, can afford to not get some transfer portal guys. But I think Penn State, and we've talked about this, I think Penn State and James Franklin have been really good at being really selective, knowing where it is. They have the whole getting the right guys, certainly talented guys that can make a difference, but also guys that truly fit the culture, and not doing it in wholesale manners. And so I think Penn State has a more, I guess, stable culture is the way I would look at it going into this thing. The other thing that I think is big for Penn State is Drew Aller returning as the starting quarterback at Penn State. And even with a new offensive coordinator, I think his understanding and the lessons learned from last year are going to pay huge dividends for this program and for Aller this season. The other thing, I really keep looking at the depth part of it, Jim. And you know, I thought Florida State, the depth might play a role there in the Georgia Tech game. But I think Georgia Tech was able to so consistently control the ball. And I understand West Virginia's rushing offense, and it is. It is terrific, and Garrett Green is a terrific dual threat. I just think Penn State's defense is really well positioned to manage that better than what we saw Florida State do with Georgia Tech. And I do think on the other side that Penn State is going to be able to take advantage of some mismatches. I think Georgia Tech's defense, you know, we'll see whether or not that was just that game or whether Georgia Tech's defense, in fact, is significantly better than a year ago, or Florida State's offense just isn't as good as I think many of us were presuming it would be going into the season. I don't think West Virginia's defense is very good compared to the top teams in college football. This is not going to be one of the top three or four defenses that Penn State faces this season. And so in that regard, I, and again, going into the game, I get it. People thought, well, I certainly thought Florida State had a huge mismatch with its offense matching up with the Georgia Tech defense. We'll see how it plays out. I think Penn State definitively does have a substantial advantage there. And I just trust that Andy Kotelnicki will be able to put this offense in position to take advantage of that mismatch.
Well, first of all, the last week's game, and I just bring this up because I'm patting myself on the back. I bet Georgia Tech last week. So now that's me patting myself on the back. However, if I were really smart, I would have bet them to win the game as opposed to just taking the points and saying, I think they'll cover the spread. But where I you brought up a couple good points. The first one, I think Penn State's defense is much better than Florida State's defense. Is there real? Do we really think that West Virginia could dominate the line of scrimmage the way Georgia Tech did against Florida State?
Yeah, I really don't. I think West Virginia will have its moments. I think it will move the ball with some effectiveness for some of the game. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a virtual wash or even advantage Penn State. I just think that the talent across the board that Penn State has there, Tom Allen's expertise and the whole bit, I think Penn State will more than hold its own against what I do think is a really good and legitimately tough rushing game for West Virginia. But they're not a great threat with the pass, and they do just enough there to keep defenses honest. But I think Penn State, with what it has in the secondary, can afford to be pretty aggressive up front with the run game. And I think, again, over four quarters, I just think it's going to be really hard for West Virginia to be able to put up the points or enough sustained drives where they can really have a chance to pull it out late in the game.
We had a listener send in a question to our show with Andy in our Ask Andy segment, where he asked about West Virginia's running game wearing down the Penn State defense, specifically the Penn State defensive line. I think this is another place where the depth on the defensive line is a particular advantage, where they have, at tackle alone, they rotate at least four guys. And they're experienced. It's four returning players too, Jeff.
Yeah, and I think that is, I understand the concern to a degree. I just think, and we'll see how it plays out, but my gut feeling going into this is it's actually going to be the opposite. I think Penn State's defense will wear West Virginia's offense out as the game progresses. just because of the fresh legs that they can keep in there, in particular in the front, on the defensive line, but even the linebacking core, if they go as much as I think most of us are expecting they will with two linebackers, and how they use those linebackers, I think will be, and for that matter, the secondary will be a really interesting watch from the Penn State perspective, because I think most of us think of blitz packages in regards to the pass game and what it can do to disrupt the quarterback and force the timing there. I think this defense can do a lot with the run blitz game as well. I think they have good physical cornerbacks. I know they have good physical safeties. And I think that linebacker rotation is actually going to prove to be an asset in this game, in particular, because, again, of the fresh legs and the different fronts and looks that they can give you and the different places they can bring personnel. I think the chess match in this game, I mean, it's one of the things that I think most football fans like seeing anyway in any game. How does that play out? I think Penn State is really going to win the chess match as this game wears on Saturday.
All right, that is it for quarter number two. When we get back, let's talk about this Penn State offense and passing game specifically when we return.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking about this upcoming Penn State-West Virginia game. Jeff, before we get to the offensive side of the ball for Penn State, you mentioned another thing when we were comparing this game to the Georgia Tech-Florida State game, the comparison between Penn State and Florida State. Now, and you brought up the idea of the portal, and Florida State was able to just backfill everybody who left, you know, and doing it through the portal. And I think sometimes you look at one or two examples and you use that to create a blanket rule. Michael Penix and Bo Nix were both so very good as transfer quarterbacks. Florida State filled their team last year with portal players. Well, guess what? There were a lot of other teams that did this kind of thing, didn't have the same success. But I think what it might mean is if you're going to have that much changeover in a team, that much turnover, it's going to be that much of a variance in your expectation of performance level.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's why, and there's a bunch of teams out there that I think are just going to be interesting watches. Obviously Colorado at the top of that list, but I think Ohio State, and we've talked about it. I mean, Ohio State has a ton of talent. There's no question about that. And I do think Ryan Day does a great job of creating that culture and getting guys to buy into what they are trying to do. That being said, I think this will be his biggest challenge this season in terms of that development, and especially if things go a little off kilter when they make the trip to Oregon. I just think it's, everybody can be together and you're moving forward and, yep, we're all buying in until you have a little adversity. And then how do you respond? And maybe they'll respond just fine. Maybe they won't face the adversity that I think they will at Oregon. But I'm really curious to see how some of these teams that are more top heavy with transfer portal talent, how it progresses over the course of the season and what it looks like over the course of a 12-game schedule. And again, I'm not ready to jump up and down and say, see, I told you Florida State lost to Georgia Tech. Therefore, we now know that all of these transfer portal guys, that just doesn't work. No, I mean, we've had, as you said, there's been a mix of results from last year. I think this year, I'm really fascinated to see how it works with the teams that are, I think, more transfer portal dependent in terms of the lineup they're putting out there than teams like, say, Penn State.
And there's so many transfer portal quarterbacks. I don't think that those become an automatic fit, Jeff.
Agreed. And, you know, I think that's much more a specific thing, a case by case. You know, it's going to be the quarterback, the system, the situation, the rest of the team. So I think you'll see much like recruits. I mean, some of it's going to work, some of it's not. But I think you have some teams that really made a ton of noise on the transfer portal front, brought in a lot of talent, and it's like, okay, can they bring that all together in 1 year and make it work? And in particular, in comparison to a program like Penn State, which, again, I'm not suggesting Penn State doesn't have some key transfer portal guys. They clearly do. But they're not nearly as dependent as some of these teams are, or at least don't have nearly the starters that they're relying on with, you know, first-year guys coming in from another school.
And I know we're talking about the portal, but you made reference to Ohio State, Jeff. So it just reminds me, Urban Meyer, perhaps the best passive-aggressive comment of the offseason. Gee, that Ohio State team, best talent in college football in a decade.
Yeah, nothing like putting the pressure on your replacement. That's pretty interesting stuff, no doubt.
I love it, though. I love it. All
I
right.
Do too.
I mentioned we would talk about Penn State's offense, and I think we're in agreement that the Penn State defense is in pretty good shape. A lot of talent coming back. You look at the Penn State offense; it's the passing game, which means wide receivers, quarterback, offensive coordinator. Those are the three parts. If there's a fourth part, I think it's the offensive line that, despite some changes, I think both of us feel pretty good about where the offensive line sits. So let's go to the other three, wide receivers, quarterback, offensive coordinator. What do you want to see from each one of them in this first game?
What I really want to see from the receivers is catch the football. Just consistently make the routine plays. And yeah, it would be really cool if you can see a Trey Wallace or an Omari Evans or maybe even both or somebody else, you know, make a play or two that kind of breaks open, you know, a play that looks like it's going for 7 or 8 yards, make somebody miss and you're in the end zone, that type of thing. So that would be tremendous for sure. And a really good indicator of you hope things to come. But what I really want to see from the receiving core is just catch the football when it's delivered to you. When it hits your hands, bring it in. Aller, I'm really curious to see his command of the offense. And if you remember last year's West Virginia game, and it did not portend what I thought it did. But, I mean, the number of different receivers he hit, he did seem to be in complete control for that game of the offense last year. And you'd love to see that same type of game from him and then have it translate to the season that I thought he was going to have a year ago. And again, it wasn't that it was disastrous a year ago. I do think, and I don't want to get it I don't want this to be the recurring theme that it was a year ago, but in an opening game, Jim, if you can avoid the turnover and you can minimize the penalties, you are putting yourself in great position to win the games. I mean, that's true throughout the course of the season, obviously, but I think in that opening week, so often the team that can come out of the gate not making the early season mistakes with penalties and certainly with turnovers, and Penn State obviously was very good at taking care of the ball a year ago and creating turnovers on the other side of the ball, that you're hoping continues. as far as the offense as a whole and what I want to see from Andy Kotelnicki, I am just dying to see these players have the opportunity to make plays in space. And these players being Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen, if and when he's in the game, and I think it'll be when he's in the game, Bo Perbiola, Tyler Warren and the tight ends and the receivers. I just want to see how this offense I have very high expectations, so it won't be the end of the world if it doesn't come out looking like I think it will in the opening game, and I'm trying to remind myself of that. But I really do have high hopes for what this offense is going to look like and the position that it is going to put the players in to go make plays. Now, the players still need to go make those plays. I think Aller will deliver the ball. I think Warren, Allen, Singleton are going to have big days. And if the receivers can just, again, make the routine plays routinely, I think this offense will look very, very impressive in Morgantown. And listen, in part, I'm not going to get carried away if they do look like I think they'll look, because I don't think this is a real good West Virginia defense. I just don't.
Well, Jeff, a couple things. First of all, your advice to catch the ball. I hope the Penn State coaching staff is listening to this show and relays that advice to the receivers. I mean, it's obvious they hadn't been, okay? And what's interesting to me in talking about that, I think with everything else going on, I forgot how often they did drop the ball, Jeff, until it was reminded to me, like they were in the top five, or I guess bottom five in college football as far as number of drops last year. So it obviously was a significant part of this. The other thing you mentioned, that Drew Aller last year, his performance against West Virginia, it did not portend what you and we all thought it did. But there was another piece to this, which was Trey Wallace, if you recall, had a wonderful game. And I'd have to go back, look at the numbers, but I think he had 7 catches.
Yeah.
And I think it was like 8 targets, 7 catches. And this is where it's a good thing I'm not part of the Penn State coaching staff, because I would put so much pressure on Trey Wallace, because I think he's the guy, he's the key. I think he's the one guy in that wide receiver room who could be a legitimate number one receiver. He has the skill set for it. And I think, Jeff, if he can become that guy, everyone else will fall into line, because you have to worry about him. And we know you also have to worry about Tyler Warren. And we know you also have to worry about those running backs. I think it takes so much pressure off everybody else. And then just besides the drops, it was also the running the wrong routes, okay, not being where you're supposed to be. And that's where I hope that Julian Fleming is that influence. Catch the balls that you're supposed to, run the routes you're supposed to, and not only that he does that, but that it will become contagious among the rest of the group.
Yeah, and I also think that schematically, Kotelnicki is going to create those opportunities for the receivers to get open. I mean, that was obviously a big focus last year, and I don't know enough about it, whether it was wrong routes or they just weren't effective. They're running the right routes but weren't getting the separation that you were expected to get, all of that. I think with the scheme that Kotelnicki will run, and with the what I think will be a really good run-pass balance and mix, I think they're just going to be able to keep defenses throughout the season on their toes, guessing about what's going to happen. And again, I think West Virginia, I guess I'm kind of half expecting this game to be very competitive through the first half. I think these coaches that Penn State has now will make halftime adjustments. I think they have enough veteran leadership and players who will know how to implement changes that are made. And when you combine that with, again, I think the clear advantage Penn State has in terms of the overall depth, I just think Penn State will be able to pull away in the second half on Saturday.
All right, we got more to go, including Jeff's prediction for the game when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State, West Virginia. We've been talking in a lot of generalities about the game. This segment, Jeff, I'm going to start pinning you down, okay?
Oh,
and
boy.
At the end of the segment, okay, you got to follow the Keystone Kickoff tradition. The last two questions of the segment are going to be, I need a bold prediction for the game, and then I need your predicted result for the game, okay? So I'm telling you that now. Because I don't want to hear at the end, I hadn't thought about it. No, you've gotten the time. You got the warning, okay? No excuses. All right. So let's get back to a couple other questions that I have. Two new coordinators. No, I know three with special teams.
That's right.
Two new coordinators that matter, Jeff. What is, how much effect does that have on an opening game?
Well, Jim, the special teams are critical. They are big in these games. All three coordinators are going to be counted on. Listen, I'm just believing too much in the hype. I really do love the approach that these coordinators and that the coaches took in terms of getting the terminology, getting everybody on the same page, all of that. Before spring drills started up and listening to everybody talk about it coming out of spring drills, it seems like that all went exactly the way you would hope. And it seems like this has been a very good preseason camp and that everybody is on the same page. I think they hit home runs in all three hires, but certainly on offense and defense. I just think Tom Allen is a really good defensive coach in terms of knowing how to mix things up and knowing how to put his players in the best position to try to go make plays. And I think Kotelnicki, much the same thing on offense. I just think there's such a different dynamic here to what he brings to the table with this offense that I'm just super excited. And I am really not concerned going into the season. And again, I'm sure if you played back the tapes from a year ago, I was telling you the same thing. And it was because you had two returning coordinators and everybody was on the same page and all of that. I really do like what I think are going to be the influences in terms of the X's and O's on top of everything else, but the game day changes that I think Kotelnicki and Allen will be able to make, the adjustments that they'll be able to make. And I think for both of them, I think that they have to be feeling kind of like a kid on Christmas morning where, look at all these new shiny toys I have to work with. Kotelnicki had some talent for sure in Kansas. He didn't have this talent across the board. Tom Allen certainly did not have the talent that this Penn State defense has when he was working as head coach at Indiana. So I think that the excitement level for both of those guys and the football expertise they bring to those two sides of the ball are going to pay huge dividends. in the opener, but certainly as the season plays out. And one of the things that I really am most excited to see is, does Penn State, as I'm envisioning, take control in that fourth quarter Saturday, both because of the depth that, they have and just being able to bring fresh legs in throughout the course of the game, but also that chess game. And I think West Virginia has a very good coaching staff. I don't think this is like a chopped liver coaching staff they're going up against. But I do think, to go back to James Franklin's infamous, I guess, now press conference, I think they have elite coordinators. I think Andy Kotelnicki is among the best in the country. I think Tom Allen is among the best in the country on the defensive side. I think they have two guys that are really top-notch in terms of both player development, just the overall coaching leading up. But I think that they are both elite in terms of their game day coaching. And that's probably the thing that I am most excited to see, if I'm right about, and if most of us are right about, on Saturday. And we'll get, again, first indication of whether or not we're right through one game, good or bad. That's obviously not going to define the season. And again, I keep going back to last year's game, but that opener, I think in many ways, couldn't have gone better for Penn State last year. And I really thought, okay, here we go. This is going to be an 11-1, maybe even 12-0 team. And then, you know, things played out the way they did.
Yes, obviously. And I think, Jeff, and I'm not going to promise that I won't say this again, but something I've said before in talking about the hire, we talked about Mike Yurcich this way, the way we're talking about Andy Kotelnicki. And I think it's okay to say it was a good hire when James Franklin made the hire. I think we were all excited about it. It became pretty obvious, though, that last year something was amiss. Something wasn't working. Okay. That happens. It's like the, you know, on your wedding day, you thought she was the perfect woman. Well, guess what? Half the time you're wrong, because that's how many those relationships end up in a divorce. Well, I think the same thing here. It doesn't mean, Jeff, you give up on love. Next one time around, Andy Kotelnicki. This one really is the one. And I do think Tom Allen gets forgotten about sometimes, but I think he was a great hire for a couple extra things. That the fact that he's been a head coach, the fact that he coached in the Big Ten, and that he coached against this Penn State team every year. So he already has some familiarity with them. I don't think people give enough credit to that hire. I think that was a great hire.
I do too. And for all of those reasons, and, you know, again, Manny Diaz, no question, was absolutely fantastic, lights out. But once he made the decision to leave, you know, I think it's not insignificant either. And James Franklin talked about this in his press conference on Monday when he was talking about Pat Kraft and the contract extension there. But I think now Penn State is at a point where you're not seeing coaches leave for lateral moves. You're not going to see Tom Allen or Andy Kotelnicki leave Penn State to go be a coordinator again at, you know, even an SEC school or Ohio State. I don't think. I really don't. And obviously, if they go take a head coaching job somewhere else, that is a wonderful credit to you and your program. And I think what we saw with these two hires, and in particular getting Tom Allen in to replace Manny Diaz, is, again, I think you have replaced a home run hire, and there's no question Diaz was a home run hire. I think you've replaced him with another home run hire. Now, again, well, got to see how it plays out, but boy, it feels, I'm with you. I don't think they could have done better on either side of the ball with these hires.
And I think the other part to it, Jeff, is because Manny Diaz, as a head coach, came here, succeeded, and went on to be a head coach, get that kind of, not lateral move, but the promotion, makes it easier to bring in a Tom Allen. He could look at this and say, hey, this is a stepping stone job to a head job. And remember, the guy prior to him no pun, Pryor, Brent Pry. He's a head coach at Virginia Tech, which, by the way, some people are pretty high on them. So anyway, all right, Jeff, before we get to your predictions, give me the two under the radar players that you'll be paying attention to, one on offense, one on defense.
Well, I'll tell you, the I know James Franklin kind of admitted in the practice in the media session after practice on Wednesday that he kind of forgot to mention Amari Evans in the Monday press conference. I don't know if that was, you know, Amari came to him and, hey, coach, why didn't you mention me? And he's like, oh, my gosh, yes. But I do think Amari Evans, when we talk about guys that I think have the potential in that receiving core to maybe really take that next step this year, I think if Trey Wallace stays healthy, he's the obvious choice that most people are zeroing in on. And I think, you know, coach has talked a lot about Liam Clifford, and I think Julian Fleming is a guy that is going to be solid, if I had to pick a word, Jim, in the upcoming season. But I think Amari Evans and Caden Saunders are the two guys that it's like, man, if one of those guys could just emerge, and Evans, from a physical standpoint, I think is a guy that could become a really tough matchup for opponents. So I'll go with Amari Evans on the offensive side. And our buddy, at least in this opening game, Jim, and I don't think it's necessarily a surprise to us or to the team. He's one of the captains. But I think Dom DeLuca is a guy that in a game like this with West Virginia, where you're looking to be physical and to get up and get in their face with the run game, I think DeLuca could have a huge impact in this thing on Saturday.
Couple great choices there, Jeff. Okay, you've had time to think about it. You got a minute and a half. Bold prediction and your prediction for the game.
Oh boy, you're completely catching me off guard here, Jim. I hadn't really thought about either of these at all, but off the top of my head, listen, I am going to say that on that Penn State's rushing game is going to outgain West Virginia on Saturday. And when you look at maybe that's not bold on one hand. It's like, well, yeah, you have Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton, but you're replacing three NFL offensive linemen, and you're going against a West Virginia offense that returns a ton from a team that was among the best in the country, and certainly the best in the Big 12 at rushing the football. I think at the end of the day, Penn State will have more rushing yards Saturday than West Virginia. That is my bold prediction. And I think the Nittany Lions, I do think this is going to be a pretty competitive game at the half. I think Penn State is going to open some things up in the second half and pull away. I think it'll be a fairly comfortable 34-17 win for Penn State in Morgantown.
Very good. Jeff, do you realize I predicted 34-15? Awful close.
Oh, wow.
Great minds thinking alike, and so clear. Do ours. All right, that's it for the show. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.